is stronger. The victory's already won. He died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. 'Cause my God is greater than death, hell, and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken.
Rachel, Monica, Zoe, appreciate that. I haven't heard that song before. It was a good one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jonas, you want to help us take up an offering? Jonas.
Forgive us for our sins and iniquities, and bless our pastor, and bless the chosen of him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing the song Peace in the Valley, 155.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light and the night. The day, oh yes, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow. See, there will be peace, peace in the valley for me. Oh yes, there the flowers will be blooming and the grass will be green and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh yes, will the sun in the valley for me. Will the bear will be gentle and the wolf will be tame and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh yes, will the beast from
stand to our feet. We're going to go ahead and have Brother Wade come sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you.
Everyone of you back. Good to be back in the service of the Lord. We had a good service this morning. Amen. The Lord was with us, and we believe people got delivered. And there was a good time in the Lord. The world loves having a good time. Why can't we love having a good time? Amen. Have a good time in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Why can't we do that? Why can't we practice it?
Amen.
What, Olivia? I'm not on? Come on now. I turned a little doohickey. No, I didn't, actually. How about now? Okay. All right. You want me to say everything I said again all over? Oh, some of you up here said, no, we don't want to hear it again. We heard you the first time. I know. It's all right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have, he's not a visitor, but he's been here before, so he's just one of us. Our brother back there with Mom. So good to see each and every one of you. Just remember this morning some of the announcements we made. Number one, after service today, we're going to have foot washing and communion. But after service today, there will be song service for practice for the Easter songs that will be in 2 weeks for our special meeting. All right? After this service here, there will be song service up here to practice what y'all going to sing. And I thank God for all the ones that's getting together, Sister Trudy, Sister Christine, and all the different ones that are helping out. And those of you that are singing, we appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for a group of people that loves to sing. And we've got talent. We've got instruments. We've got talent. Use it. Amen. Remember, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Remember all the ones that are on vacations. My sister and different ones are gone. Josh, my son, and his family is gone to Florida. Also remember the meeting on April the 15th, 16th, and 17th. That will be at 7 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and a regular Sunday service. Just keep that in your prayer, and I hope you've got your food slip that you need to bring food. If you don't, you need to see the head cook herself, Sister Dale. That would be Sister Peggy Dale. All right. And also, we may need some places for people to stay. If you have a place or an extra bed or something, we don't want these people that are coming to have to stay in a motel and spend $100 a night if we've got an extra room for somebody to stay in. It shouldn't be a burden for you. It should be something that that you enjoy doing. My house is going to be full, Brother Joe's house, Brother Boyd may need, he could have a few more. Yeah. And, but Brother Luis's house would be pretty full. So places to stay. We already have some people that are calling to come in. We want to have a good service. This will be an Easter time. It's going to be a resurrection. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. We got Brother Jewel Forney to start it off. Brother Homer Longoria will be Saturday. And Sunday will be Brother Mike Oltig. And then Dad's birthday is on the 16th on that Saturday also, so just remember that. Also remember, on that Saturday, not this coming Saturday, on the 16th, there will be a baptismal service somewhere. It'll be determined when we find somewhere to have it. But a couple of the brothers and sisters from Ohio want to be baptized. And if you would like to be baptized, we're going to do it at 12 o'clock somewhere. But we'll let you know where by next week. So we got people desire to be baptized. We want to baptize them. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles back to John like we were this morning. We're going to, I know you got that little chart in your hand. We're going to talk about that maybe if you've never seen that before, or if you have a question, we're going to try to answer that question for you. So it's just the journey of a Christian. It's the journey of a believer. It's a journey of someone that wants to grow in God. They just don't want to have the new birth and just sit down and not do anything. It's somebody that wants to grow in God. It's somebody that wants to see what God has for them tomorrow. Today and tomorrow and the next day. And it's something that we have. I'll read you a quote here in just a few minutes where Brother Branham said, no one else, no denomination, no other church age could do it. No other church age was called to adoption. No other church age was called to take a body change, except this age. There is no another. There's not another one to come. So this is it. Amen. And so listen, if God promised it, he's already saw somebody that's in this age that's going to make it. You've just got to do what? By your free moral agency, you got to match the peace. Amen. Because it's in the mind of God. He already knows it. It's a secret. But see, that secret is to be revealed to each one of us as we grow through this statue of perfect man. God's going to reveal to you. He's got to. Because once the word, when the word opens, that's a revelation. That means he's talking straight to you. All right? Amen. I was reading the Bible yesterday, and I want to tell you just for a minute. I was reading scripture. I believe it was yesterday morning or the morning before. Anyway, before I go to church, before I go to work, I try to read scripture. And if you read scripture and you think, and you've always, you know, we've read the Bible how many times? 50, 60, 70, 80 times, I believe, probably since I've been a Christian. I go through every year, I try to go through and read the Bible at least once or twice. But there's pieces in there that you swear that somebody's wrote that in. Yeah. But you've read it 100 times. Right. God has withholden that part from you because that wasn't time for your revelation. Luther Wesley read the Bible because the Bible was put in print during that time. Right? So they read the Bible, and they never read that in Acts 2:38 to take the baptism of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet it was in there the whole time. All these great revelations are already in the Bible. Yes. Prophet of God didn't have to write a new Bible.
Right.
We're just catching a glimpse of what the Bible is really about.
Hallelujah.
And then we look and see the love letter that was in between that. Now, Brother Luis was running off his song service this afternoon and had all the C's and B flats and A flats and all. He was running that off on the computer and it didn't take it. So it just ran 6 blank pieces of paper. And I told him, I said, go out there and hand it to him and tell him it's a revelation. But God didn't give us a blank piece of paper. He gave us words to read. And we're going to try today to the help of the Lord will help us up the statue of perfect man. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word you give us. Thank you for the precious people, Lord, that have come among us, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherment of this service. You take over and you be the one that is the active participant. Lord, you be the one that does the healing. You be the one that does the revealing, Father. And you be the one that speaks, Lord, because if not, then we just met up as a meeting of minds, as the prophet said, just a lodge. We don't want to be a lodge. We want to be the house of the living God. As we were talking this morning, we want to be the Holy of Holies, not just look at it or be in it. We want to be the Holy of Holies. We want to be where that you feel comfortable about coming in among us, Lord, that you feel comfortable about anointing us, Lord, all of us with a spirit of revelation and healing and all the different things that you give us, Lord, that you purchased at Calvary. You knew it before the foundation of the world, but you had to come down here and literally die for our sins. And we thank you for that, Lord. A lot of times we don't thank you, Lord, but we thank you for dying for our sins. Without you, Lord, we're nothing. We're going to hell. But Lord, with you, Lord, we have eternal life. We have a hope. We have an opportunity. We have faith to believe in you and what you've already done. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless us, Lord. Be with the ones that are on the highways, that are traveling. This week, many people will be on vacation. We pray that you'll be with them. Bless our little group there in Ohio, Lord, that you'll be with them and keep them safe. Bring them together, Lord, as you did us, Lord. You bring us together under one thing, and that's the word of God. Not friendship. That's okay to have. It's okay to be brothers and sisters, but we gather around the word of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we want to hear from, Lord. We want to hear from you today.
Yes.
So bless us now and be with us, Lord, as we open your word and speak to the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is this Son of Man, part 29? I'm getting slower in my old age. I didn't think we'd go 29 parts, but we still got a little bit to cover. But the Son of Man, nobody's understood it. Nobody's understood Jesus Christ, not to its fullest, not to its full potential. But if we become him, and then that anointing is for the Son of Man to be revealed, then he's got to come on the scene. He's got to come on the scene because he is the Son of Man. And promised in Luke 17:30, as Brother Colley read this morning, and different scriptures, that he is here under the anointing of the Son of Man ministering.
Amen.
So let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the beginning, as Revelation 3:14 said, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, why didn't they say the beginning of the creation of God in the first church age? Wasn't time. It wasn't their anointing. Because you got to come down to the finality of it. You got to come down to the finish of it for the Son of Man to be revealed. For I reckon, Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, not to us. Now, it's got to be revealed to us, but it's got to be revealed in us. And then what do? We manifest what's being revealed. You can only manifest what's being revealed to you. Everybody okay with that? Let's don't become silence. Listen, I don't want silence in heaven today. Okay? Y'all can say amen. Okay. Or nod a little louder. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or what? Creation. It's expected. It's an expecting. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You may be seated. This whole world is waiting on us to come to a place. This whole world, nature, animals, are all waiting on somebody to come to a place like Jesus was and be the master of the wind. You know, we sing all those songs and that's wonderful. And, you know, that's him. But I don't think he's going to be mad at me for saying that we had a prophet in the end time that mastered the wind. He sent a storm right out of existence that was supposed to have been a horrible storm, and he spoke to the storm same way Jesus spoke to the storm when they were in the boat. Amen? So that's what we're looking for. We saw it in part, as we were reading this morning. We saw it in part last night, we were talking about it. But what you're going to see in part, you're going to see in fullness. You know why it's going to be fullness? It's because it's not going to be in just one man. It's going to be in several. Men and women, brothers and sisters, are going to have to come to maturity. Not just brothers. Sisters, you can't go to sleep today. You got to wake up. Got to be awake. Got to get it for yourself. All right? Amen? So now we know that we are predestinated to adoption. I want us to get that in our mind. We are all predestinated to something. Listen, there's a group that's predestinated to destruction. Brute beasts made for destruction. That's what the Bible says. And because God in his mind, that wasn't that God said, I'll take you and not you, and you don't have a choice. See, you can't preach predestination like that. It's got to be by foreknowledge, by the choice that you make. Adolf Hitler made a choice. Hey, you can take, you know, whatever the most horrible people that you've ever seen in your life, God give them a choice to be saved. He even gives Satan a choice. And Satan chose. When iniquity was found in his heart, he chose. He wanted to be the big king. He wanted to be the head honcho. Well, he was second in command anyway, but he wanted to be number one. But you know what? By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, though, you and I are part of that number one. Amen. If you're not born again, you're part of the number two. But, you know, we don't have to. Satan had to. He come to a position. Well, you know where our position is? It's not right here. It's right here. That position is greater than, that's why the devil to me is, you got to see, the devil's just really not anything. He's a bluff. That's why Brother Branham proved in the first seal that he was a bluff. He had a bow and no arrows. Now, his bluffing, though, you know what that does? It makes you doubt. His bluffing makes you doubt and not have faith in what God's already said. But somebody, someone, some, not even say a group or even a church, this whole church is not going to come to adoption. If we all do come to adoption, you're not going to come at the same time. You got some that are already at adoption. You got some that's coming. You got some that's at the bottom of the pyramid. You got some in many different places. But as I think Brother Michael was talking about yesterday, he was talking about we got into kind of when the rapture takes place, will God leave the babies here? Well, I don't believe that. But God, by his infinite mind, something's got to come to a place to where we're all in our place where we're supposed to be, and that's what he saw, and that's when the rapture's going to take place. All right, like I said before, it's not going to be a red-letter day on the calendar that he asked today and said, I just feel like coming that day. No, God don't do it that way. God wants me and you to get ready, and then he will show up and take us in a rapture. All right? But it will be because somebody got in the right place at the right time, matched the right piece, and we're going to go into rapture, all right? So now we know that Ephesians 1, we're not going to read it, but we look at Ephesians 1, that is where we're predestinated, to adoption. Yes. All right, in the book of Ephesians 1 and all down through there, we see that we are predestinated unto adoption. But let's go to number 1 on our quotes. Read it one more time. Teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. He said rightly be able to have faith. He didn't say have faith. He said rightly be able to. Because listen, faith is a revelation. We'll talk to it. Look on your chart. Faith is down here. He's not talking about that faith. That faith is the faith that's going up the pyramid. Everybody with me? There's a faith to get born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, that's too simple. Well, it's so simple, the world's going to look over it. But then you've got in the pyramid, as you go up more, as you go up and grow up in God, there is a faith that you got to have. Several years ago, the first time I went to the Philippines, I was preaching on the Statue of Perfect Man. And this is the way I taught it. You have faith, and then you get virtue faith, because you never lose faith. Right. Once you're a Christian, you're a faith-based person, or you're supposed to be. All right, you're a faith-based person. Yeah. Then it takes virtue faith, the faith in the virtue that God gives you, to go to the next step. Right. Then to have knowledge faith, or faith to have knowledge. Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute, getting a little ahead of the game. But we know that we are, number 2, we're called to adoption, but it's not our new birth. There's going to be, let's go to number 2. There's going to be millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, millions of bride that never comes to adoption. Because really, think about it. The bride down through the church ages weren't required to come to adoption. Paul probably got pretty close, and some of those in the first church age, but Luther didn't. You can't come to adoption teaching a baptism in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You can't come to adoption preaching there's an eternal hell. You can't come to adoption preaching there's a Trinity. Can't happen. Because remember, as you're coming to adoption, you've come to what? You come to maturity where God allows you to use His Word or use His power. Now, how's He going to do that if you're off just a little bit? Not going to happen. Everybody with me with that, okay? All right, stay awake. Let's read that quote. Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. Now, we've been talking about that. Today, we're going to talk about it a little bit more. We're going to use the chart when we read the rest of this. Let's continue. When we are born of the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. Where do you get born again? Right here. At faith. Brother Brown says, Statue of Perfect Man. You're born again at faith. Because faith is a revelation. When you get born again, it's a revelation that God has come to you, took the old person out, and put a new person in. Right, not take your soul out and kill it and all. No. You get a nature change. Right. There's a nature attached to your soul. Right. Yeah. And that nature is corroded and it wants you to curse and not come to church and be contrary to God. Right. That's what Brother Brown said. Yeah. If you're not born again, you're contrary to God. But that old nature is what the Holy Ghost comes in and burns that nature off of that soul, and then He puts His soul in your soul. It's what the prophet said, and I believe it. Burns out the old man. Kills it. Your old husband's dead, so now you can marry another. That's why you have to teach marriage and divorce. Along with this, because it is, when you get born again, it is a marriage and divorce situation. Because if your old husband's still alive, you can't get born again. But if your old husband's dead, you're free to marry. Only in the Lord, the Bible says. All right, so you got to take your types, and that's what the type is. But we are sons of God. On your chart, if you're looking there, you can look. In just a minute, we're going to put it up here. But we were predestinated. I've been telling you that, and telling you that, and telling you that. We've been predestinated because of our choice. God saw that a prophet of God would come in the end time, preach the pure, unadulterated word of God. Yes. How many believes God sent a prophet? Amen. Amen. And who did He send him to? Me. He sent him to me. Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. All right. And what did He do? He took us from one position to another, and then He took us from that position to another. Right. Remember, this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. Church age book, Laodicea and church age. Do what? Turn the hearts of the what? The children to the fathers. Children to the fathers. And do what? Reveal the seals, which is the headstone, are the Son of Man ministry. All right? And like I said before, look at all the characteristics of God. If they hated the Son of Man, they're going to hate you. If the world thinks you're crazy, if the world thought Jesus was crazy, which they did, called him Beelzebub, that's all they're going to do to you. Right. Your friends are going to leave you. Amen. You say, oh, that's kind of lonely. No, it's something that you've got to do. Oh, yeah. Okay? Yeah. Don't go back and hang around with the old folks again. Amen. When God saved my soul, you know, some people will say, and we've seen them get caught in that trap. Some people say, well, I'll just go and hang around them and help them. No, you're walking into the trap of the devil. Don't go back where you were, because look, what is repentance? Turning around and going in another direction. Leaving that back that way. Leave that old man there. Quit just divorcing him and bringing him back up when you need him. He's got to be dead.
Right, amen.
And when you're dead, you're dead. And you got to be dead in Christ. That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But your adoption is your placing. So your placing is what? It's the growth development. It's not your new birth. It's the growth development after you get born again. So let's go to the next part. It says first stage, the birth, Romans 8:14. And I thank God for the chart that Brother Bob had done. And I kind of modified it just a little bit to what I need for today. But thank God we got good people in this church that we can all learn from each other. Amen. There's no big I's, no little U's. We all learn from each other every day. All right. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received what? The spirit of the old man.
Right.
I'm not changing the word of God. I'm reading you what I mean. I just told you that. Your old man's got to be dead. Because that spirit of bondage is what? What you were in the world.
Right.
You think, no, I'm free. I think Brother Branham, you know, when he saw that woman, you know, she didn't have half her clothes on. She was crawling down through the aisle of that motel. And she says, I'm free. She's drunk. She says, I'm free. Brother Ram said, no, you ain't free. You're bound. You just don't know it. Satan wants you to feel free when you're out there in the world. I can do whatever I want to. I am free.
Yeah.
No, if you look in the spiritual realm, you're like this,
right.
And you're like this, and you're like this, and you're bound to your feet, and you can't do nothing.
Amen?
Amen? You look in the spiritual realm, that's exactly what you are without the new birth.
Right.
But with a new birth, grave clothes come off.
Yes.
Loose him and let him go.
Right.
I wish somebody would loose and let go and start running the aisles maybe one day.
Amen.
We're going to get happy one of these days. We're happy now, but we're going to show it.
Amen.
Take that energy you do this with and put it in your feet. Just saying. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Look, this is the door that opens up. As we were talking last night in Revelation 4, there was a door open in heaven. That's a type of the rapture. But what is a type of the rapture? It's your when you get born again, you have raptured in your soul. Your soul has raptured up. Come up higher.
Amen.
In other words, I can talk to you now. The door is open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, you let him in.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you have not received the spirit of fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, and the spirit of self-bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's why, folks, you can't go and hang around with those old people you hung around before with.
That's
right. You'll get drug into that spirit, because even at the new birth, you got to be careful. You're real tender.
Yes.
Now, you're not going to lose that. But you're going to be tender. But see, a lot of people say, well, I'm born again, but they're only sanctified.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I said I wasn't going to do that. And then what happens is you go into that place, you're going to save them people.
Yeah.
And what happens? The unclean spirit goes out, walks in a dry place, Seek his wrath, findeth none. Comes back. Comes back. He's real persistent. And what he does is he makes you feel comfortable again around that group of people you used to be with. But then I'm still going to go to church, but I'm going to feel comfortable around this group. You can't serve two masters. You got to serve one or the other. One's got to be cut off. You can't be married to two. You're either married to the world today, sitting in your seat, or you're married to Christ. One of the two. There is no second. There is no third person, second this, fourth that. You're either born again or you're not. All right. So you either serve the world or you serve God. And even when we're right here at faith, we're going to see in just a few minutes, there's more growth to it that we have to have a justification again. We have to have a sanctification in a higher order. So let's go ahead and pull that chart up. You have it in your hand, but let's pull it up, brothers, and let's look at it for a second. They said I had some kind of little pointer up here. Laser. Wait a minute. You can see it on the wall, but y'all can't see it, can you? Anyway, I'm going to point with my hands. Boo devil. So now, can everybody see on your chart, you got the new birth is right here. So you're justified. What is that justification? Brother Bob covered it a little bit ago. That justification is, you come up to this altar and you say, God, I'm finished with my past life. I'm done. I want to be turned and put in another direction. Well, then what does that do? If you really come to justification, God, listen, let me tell you like this. God has to forget your sins. Look at it that way. What Jesus was standing on earth, he said, the kingdom of God is taken by force. You got to take it. John said, give me that book. In Revelations 10. Give me the book.
Amen.
You got to reach out and get it for yourself. Oh, it'd be great if we could open up the mouth and just pour it down in there. But you know what they'd do? They'd choke them. They'd choke you. The way you got to come is the way God has said you got to come, and you can't come no other way. Amen? We all can't. Listen, everybody in this building was born, birthed naturally the same identical way. Whether it be C-section, whether it be natural, whether it be whatever you want to call it, we all come from the same act. All right? So to get born again, we got to all come from the same act. All right? We got to be justified. God chops off our past sins, and we feel a load being lifted off. Did we not? A load was lifted off. You know what happened? In your mind, in your soul, you were bound. That old black thing was hanging over you, the old cloud of doubt, and that old cloud of this and the cloud of that. You're tired of that. And when it's tore off of you, then you feel free. You feel freedom. You feel different. Hey, am I okay? Are we all right? Everybody, if you hadn't went through it this way, you got to go through it this way. Okay? So in justification, let me call it baby step one justification. Taken from Dave Ramsey. Baby step one justification is God will chop off your past sins to anybody that asks him. Godly sorrow leadeth you to repentance. God, forgive me for what I did. I don't want to do that no more. But now remember, according to the prophet of God, that only chops off your past sins and doesn't do anything to the sin you're going to do the next day or the day after that or the day after that. Because the unclean spirit is still inside. It's being cleaned out at sanctification, not at justification. But God is just to save you. That's why there's a difference in salvation, as the denominations teach, and the way that Brother Branham teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because remember what Brother Branham said. He said the most ill-taught subject is what? The new birth. How to get the Holy Ghost. Some says it's this. Some says it's emotion. Some says you got to do this. Some says you got to do that. Brother Ramon didn't ever say anything like that. He said, you got to ask God to forgive you your sins.
Right.
And you get justified, which starts you on the journey.
Yeah.
Then you got to come to sanctification, baby form sanctification, where God starts cleaning you out. But as we were talking this morning, some of us do this. They go, I'm tired of that. I'm not that tired of it. I'm tired of that. Nah, I'm not that tired of it. You like it. The prophet said an evil spirit comes back on you. But he told about that woman he cast the devil out of. And they said, Brother Brown said she's acting just the same way. She said she's got the same demon. He said, because she liked it. She liked it. And if you like something, what do? This is my baby, leave it alone. But what we got to do? Sanctification. Go, unclean spirit, go, leave, get out of here. I don't want you no more. And don't go looking for it again. You know why? Because you still are raw. You still are just justified. You still are, you feel clean, but guess what? The bottle has still got a hole in the top of it. And Satan can pour something right back in there. Because listen, you're a creature of your first nature. Even though it's dead, you're still a creature of that first nature that you took on. You still remember it? That's the hardest thing we got to do is remember that God forgive us. He'll never remember it again. Can't remember it again. It's done. And what do? We go fishing in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Everybody all right with that? We go fishing. Let me pull that one back up. And God's trying to say, can we cut that line? And you're going, no, hold on. I need that back again. Well, that's what we do in our mind. We bring it all back up. We bring it back up. That's baby form sanctification. Is everybody with me? That you haven't got to here yet. Notice the pyramid. You have not got to the base. I'm trying to find a place where I can look. Base is faith. All right, so now, when you come to the new birth, God takes that old you, cleans you out, and then you stay under the fountain, may I say, long enough. Because let me give you an experience I had right here. I come to a state of justification. I came to a state of sanctification when I was baptized. I felt so free and clean. There was nothing inside of me. But I knew I needed the Holy Ghost. I knew that that wasn't all that was going to happen to me. Everybody with me? So I had to what? Pray. Read my Bible. Yes. See, that's a lot of times we see that. And I'm sorry. You see a good case of justification, a good case of sanctification. I mean, somebody comes in and they just pour their heart out to God. You know, you see them, they just pour their heart out to God. And then 3 weeks later, they're gone. Right. They didn't get the new birth. Because the new birth drew me here. Drew me to go to church every Sunday then. Drew me to read my Bible instead of reading my Playboy books. Drew me. Don't laugh. We've done that before. Drew me because that was my old nature. But drew me into listening to more tapes and reading more books and listening to more preaching and listening to something that was soothing to my new part of me. Amen. Listening to songs. Listening to... Not Leonard Skinner. Some of you that do know what I'm talking about. We started listening to Amazing Grace. A little bit of Casting Crowns, maybe. A little bit of the brothers up there. I got a tape one time from Happy Valley with those brothers up there. The Yarch brothers and all the different singing. See, I started listening to that. Why? Because the part that pulled me toward Leonard Skinner, or whatever you want to call it, it was gone. But remember, your spirit realm doesn't know how to handle that yet. Am I okay with this? I'm just going to pull it down real minute. Your spirit realm is still a little bit tender. It's in between. Everybody okay with that? But when you get the new birth, then what have you got? Brother Brown said, now there's an upward pull. Yes. Amen. Not a downward pull. You've still got a downward pull until you're born again. Right. Okay? That's why I said don't go back into that stuff you used to do. Fight it. Take that kingdom by force. Take it away from the devil. But when God seals you with the Holy Ghost, you're standing back upright and you're looking up. Because that pull now is a different pull. It's a pull that will pull you away from those things. The problem is we have a pull going back to them things. And listen, there's still an old part of you that just keeps running around in your head called memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination that's not born again. It has to be cleaned and it gets dirty. It has to be cleaned. Has to be cleaned. It gets dirty. I don't know about y'all, but I'm talking about me now. Okay, y'all can figure out if it's y'all or not. But clean, dirty. Why? So then now what we need now is to go upward. We've got an upward pull now. Everybody with me? You got an upward pull now that's pulling you into a state of justification again. Not baby form. You get the new birth, you can't go backwards. You can't go back.
Right.
Once you get the new birth, what happens? That jar is cleaned and set aside for service, but now that jar has been filled with the Holy Ghost or filled with God, and then God does what? Seal that baby shut so nothing can get out and nothing can get back in. Now that, you can find some safety in that. That's where your rest comes from, as Brother Bob was talking about. That's your rest. You don't rest until you get the new birth. Because like I said before, that spirit realm is real raw because you know what? The unclean spirits tore out. And you know what he's doing? Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up like this. This is your soul. Right? It's clean now, but what happens is when them devils want to come, you're trying to get them devils out, what happens? Help. Let me stay in there. Let me stay there, please. Let me stay. And then you go, all right. That's called deliverance.
Right.
You get deliverance from a demon. He ain't going to just go, okay, that's all right. I'll go find somebody else. No, because you were one of his champions. You were one of his guys. So he's going to want to claw his way back into you. That's okay. That's okay. That's part of the journey. We noticed that when the ark was built, we always said, you know, God shut the door. God shut the door. Nobody could get in, nobody could get out. But I bet you there was a lot of claw marks on the side of that ark. The people that stood around and kind of maybe believed the message and, yeah, they listened to Noah maybe three or four times in 120 years. You know, that was enough for them. But they stood right there at that door. But Noah didn't shut the door. God supernaturally shut the door. And they were sealed out. And they were sealed in, Noah and his family. And there was nothing Noah could do about it. Because it was done. God didn't open the door back up. He shut that door and he sealed it. But there was a lot of people that were going, oh, Noah, we believe you now. We believe the message now. We didn't believe it back then because we'd had to give up a lot. Give up a lot, my foot. That is what I want to give up. Is that old part. So justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost seals you in, gives you the new birth. But remember, when in sanctification, what is the meaning of sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service. All right, now what happens at the new birth? God takes that and now puts it in service. In service. In other words, to be used, not to be set up on a shelf.
That's right.
You know, you could starve to death. You could literally dehydrate right in front of that glass of water. If you never did this. It just sat right there, and you're like, man, I really need that. I really need you, Lord. I really do. But I got to move. That's some of our problem. We don't move. Reach and grab that thing. So now we're going to talk about in service. Listen, this is in service for God. This is the nine spiritual gifts. This is all the different things that goes on that we don't have the time to get into all of it. But we can teach this enough to where you'll understand, because it's just not... That's a pretty picture, and it's good to a point, but it's not that you get faith and then you got to toe that line, and then you get all virtue, can't worry about any of these, get to right here, and then you got to fill that up, and then you got... No. It's kind of a working of everything. You can work on your brotherly kindness, but remember, though, Brother Branham said, this is the way you got to get it, in this order. Because, you know why? God saw that that's the only way he's going to get up that statue of perfect man, was in this order. But you can still be working on patience and temperance and all that, because look, here, this justification, the first justification is what? You did it. Just admit it. You did it. Whatever it is, you can put that in there, X, Y, Z. You did it. You know you did it. You know the time you did it. And you know the place you did it. You know the person you did it to or did it not do it to. Amen? And it's going to be a hard thing to get rid of that. But what you do is what? Time heals all wounds. But now you can't go back and keep getting that womb opened up. Can't get that wound opened up. You got to make a step forward and get away from that that you used to do. All right? I hope this is helping somebody. So this justification is God chops off your past sins, but you still have sin. Sanctification is the unclean spirit goes out. You start walking toward God. You, like I said before, those demons are going to try to claw themselves back in. But once God seals you in, you're sealed. But you have to be put in service. You can't just lay around and not do anything. You got to have a desire. But as Brother Branham was talking, the whole thing that he's talking about is you got to do something. There's nobody else had the opportunity. We have the opportunity. We have the vehicle. We have the 1,100 sermons. We've got the Bible. We've got the unwritten part. We've got the read between the line part. So that's what we can use. The prophet of God said, we have Satan's answer. Amen. All right? So you take this justification right here. Now, if you'll notice, in this bracket, we're talking about the Son of God and the Son of Man. And I didn't write this down here because I would have put Son of the Devil. But I wanted to skip that part. Because we all know that we're Son of the Devil until we're the Son of God. Amen? Amen. All right? And we'll read that in Unveiling of God here in just a little bit. All right, you got the new birth at faith. You become what? You become a child of God, a son of God. Everybody with me? And that's why the church ages are in here. And that's why you've got all these right here, all these different ads. So you come out here and you look and you say, God, thank you for giving me the new birth. And he gives you, Brother Brown says, new thoughts, new ideas, new revelation. And you begin to go through justification again, which is not just chopping off your past sins. It's telling you that you've moved from I did it to I didn't do it. But you and your old self are saying, yes, I did. You said it just as I said that. You said it in your mind, didn't you? Yep. You just said, oh, I did it. No. If God forgave it, y'all are so predictable. If God forgave it, why you can't bring it back up again? Like I said, don't go fishing in the sea of God's forgiveness. Leave it alone. It's done. It's finished. It's over. But that justification is not whether you're born again or not. It's not whether God's going to remember your sins. You just say, God, I know I sin every day. But that man inside me does not. That man inside me does not sin, never has sinned, never will sin. At Genesis 1:26, man, you can't hold anything against it because it is God. That's what we got to start stinking thinking. Justification is not chopping off your past sins now. That's already done. Move on. Move higher. Go to the second stage of justification and start working on that middleman. No, I didn't want to do it. Now I ain't going to do it. The real me has changed. Talk about a body change. You got to have this change first. before you take a body change. And listen, folks, listen. Some people will come to the new birth and they won't make it this far. But they're still a child of God. They're still going to come up like we were talking about last night. They're still going to come up in that first resurrection. Everybody with me? They're going to come up in that first resurrection because what? They have died in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, but there's got to be somebody come to here to bring them out of the ground. Because you to come to full maturity as the Son of Man, you can't do it down here as a baby. So you got to grow in grace and knowledge. You got to grow and let your virtue, and we'll get to each one of these maybe later on, but I'm just trying to paint you a pretty good picture of what I see, that our whole growth from baby form justification to where we get up here to this justification. I'll read you a quote in a few minutes where this, you got to realize the real you didn't do it to start with. And that's going to be the hardest part. Listen, that's going to be the hard part. It's going to be a special anointing, I believe. All right? Justification. I didn't do it in the first place. The man that's inside of you did not do it. But you still got to. Where is this working at right here? This is working not in your center realm. Your center realm is born again. Your center realm is perfect. Your center realm is eternal. So how can you hold anything to God's elect? But while we're still here, the memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Where does your temper come from? Oh, it just comes from the inside of me. Well, if you got the new birth, it can't come from that part. But it comes from the old part of you that you still have in your spirit realm that says, they did me wrong. So I'm going to retaliate. Now, wait a minute. What did the Son of Man say? The Son of Man said, forgive them. The Son of Man said, forgive your enemies. It's easy to forgive your friends. Forgive your enemies. Hard to do. It's my brotherly kindness is way up there. So this justification is as if you never done it, where the God is going to have to work on your spirit realm, and he's going to have to give you time enough, as we were reading this morning, time-tested Christians, give you time enough that all that old part of you is completely going away. And you can stand to be justified. Watch this. What does the Bible say in Romans 8? Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. Now that's not an immediate, you're not on a trampoline. You're not in a bouncy house. You don't have springs on your feet. You're not going to jump from right here to here. Brother Brown even tells you that he said these are rungs of the ladder. He said if you jump a rung, he said you're going to fall back down. So we have to go this way. We have to go up the pyramid just like Brother Brown said. Well, actually, you know who said it first? Peter. Peter read it. He had the revelation in 2 Peter 1 all the way. We've been reading it. But it took Brother Branham, though, to put these pieces together and show us why and where and how it is done. Justification, as if you never done it. Now, what you got to do is you got to keep what? What Brother Branham call it? Honing. Honing. Cutting off the excess skin. Now, what is this sanctification? If the first sanctification that you got was, is the unclean spirit went out of you. Now, that's in your soul. The unclean spirit went out of you, walked in dry places, seek rest, and findeth none. Now, he can't come back to the inward man. Wake up! He can't come back to the inward man. Yeah, do like Ruth, stand up. Everybody stand up now. Boy, it's warm in here, too. Stand up! You kidding, it's warm. Now I'm going to preach for 30 minutes. Y'all stand right there. If you fall over, we'll pray for you. So sanctification is what? Cleaned and set aside for service. But now, wait a minute, Brother Wade. You already told me we were in service. Right? So what's this sanctification doing here? The unclean spirit's already gone out. It's not coming back into your soul because your soul's been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Everybody all right with this? All right? Because I want to make sure you get it. Because there's a lot of new ones in here and some of the ones online. That sanctification there is you're cleaning up to take these virtues in into your spirit realm. So you're working on realm number two. Am I all right with that? You're working on realm number two. You're letting this out to do the work, but you're bringing it in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you come to a daily sanctification where Paul writes and he says, the things I would not, I do, the things I do. That's not Paul down here. Paul's already born again. But he said, the things I would not, I do, the things I do, I would not. There works in me what? Two things going on. White dog, black dog. All right. See, the problem is everybody says, well, that white dog, black dog, that's before you get born again. No. No. And excuse the expression, you're black dog. When you're born, before you're born again, you just got black dog inside of you. He's just an ornery critter. But when you receive the new birth, what you're trying to do is, old Indian chief, he said, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. The one I die daily. I want that cut off me daily. By reading my Bible, listening to the prophet's message, listening to some good sermons, singing and praising God. God, give me, have you ever really, I don't want you to, now y'all sit down. I don't want you to embarrass yourself, but during all this that we've been teaching, how many of you just really sit down and say, God, I want that kind of virtue that you had. I don't want the virtue of anybody else. I want the virtue that God had where that woman touched his garment. And he turns around and he said, who touched me? Now, there was millions or more thousands of people doing this all day, touching him, humanly. But somebody touched him soul to soul. Somebody really pulled something out of him. Well, now, listen, if you don't have anything in there to pull out, like Brother Brown said, if you don't have money in there to write the check with, it comes back insufficient funds. But when we come into sanctification, where we die daily, we are put into service. But you know what? That jar, though, you can't get anything on the inside, right? But you sure can get dirty outside. You can fall in the mud. You can backslide. You can do those things. You get down. But what happens is, don't get back up and open that up and say, all right, y'all go back down inside here, because that can't happen. God seals you in your seal. But what happens is, you clean it off. By the washing of water, by the word. Some of y'all are awake. And then what? God can hold it and put it in use. God's not going to touch that thing if it's filthy. You're not going to. If I put that in mud and set it over there, one of them girls is really thirsty. Really thirsty. Think about it. Really thirsty. You wouldn't touch that until we cleaned it off. Right? So that's what God does. He is now doing a daily sanctification, not to clean your soul up, but to clean your spirit realm up, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. And then he what? Starts placing these virtues into your life. Now, some may have a lot of virtue. Some may just have a little amount. Some may have a lot of knowledge. Some may just have a little amount. Some may be able to totally get over their temper. Some may still have a little flare up every once in a while, but we're continuing to what? Grow. We're continuing to grow. I die daily. If Paul died daily, he didn't die in the soul daily. He didn't die in his flesh daily. He was still moving, still breathing. He was dying in his spirit realm. Because Satan still, he can grip on that second realm. Because see, that's his playground. Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought was where? Where's your memory? Everybody do this. Where's your reasoning? Where's your conscience? Where's your imagination? Where's your affection? No, your affection's up here first. No. If your affection's in your heart, you'd be in trouble. Your affection is right here. And we're talking about filial love, not agape love. Agape love is right here. And it's sealed in, but we got to let it work its way out to come through all these patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Brother Brown preached a whole sermon on it. So that's our daily sanctification, and we're still under the, what I say, we're under the church ages. Everybody with me? All right? We okay with this? Everybody follow me so far? I want the new people to see it, but I want everybody to kind of, let's go rehash it just a little bit, you know? Let's just go back over it a little bit, because we've been over it and over it, but it's come a time where, listen, you say, Brother Wade, that's a pretty picture. Yeah? And it won't do you any good just being a pretty picture. That's got to be you. That's got to be your daily life. You're walking through the world, and God is wanting to place every one of those in your life. But you got to do what? Open up. You got to open up and let God do all these for you. Because look, guys, like Brother Dale said, these are not worldly virtues, worldly knowledge, worldly temperance, worldly patience, because that just keeps you in the world. It's got to be godly. It's got to be godly temperance. It's got to be godly knowledge. Like I said, it's got to be virtue faith, knowledge faith, because everything's built on faith, temperance faith, patience faith, godliness faith, brotherly kindness faith, and Holy Ghost faith. Man, you get way up there and look what you got. You got another set of three that you got to go through. Everybody with me? So we come to this place and we're talking about now the Son of Man. That's why we're so far behind. I don't say that, you know, I say that collectively. Because we should have come to this. If Brother Branham preached this and the seals open, we should all be here. But we're not. And I'm not either. All right, so we're working toward it. All right, everybody wants to, we're working toward it. Listen, pull the people up. It's a pull, not a push. All right? Brother Dale's tried to pull you all up that mountain that he saw in his dream. He's trying to get you all to go up, push you up the mountain. That's what he's been trying to do, trying to help you, get you up the mountain, get you up to where it looks. God can work with you down here, but he's got to only work with you in a baby form. Give you a little bit. You can give Hudson and Camber, you can't feed them a T-bone steak. But now I can eat one. Yeah. Yeah. And like it. But you can't feed it to them because it'll choke them. I don't care if you even cut it in a little minute. You might chop it up and feed it to the baby, but what happens? It has a tendency to choke even on baby food. But God doesn't want you to stay a baby. This is not baby food. This is meat and potatoes and going on to steak. Is everybody with me? Yeah. All right, so now look, real quick, and then we'll... I try to get shorter and to get longer. So there's... And I wrote this up here for a purpose. Justification, sanctification. And you got this where it says Holy Spirit right here. And that's got to be from here up to this way. You've already got the Holy Ghost down here, right? New birth right here. All right, then you're growing in grace and knowledge. And then Brother Branham in the Statue of Perfect Man, he says, see there, you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. What is he talking about? Earnest fullness. That's what he's talking about. You've only got the earnest down here. We got to come to the fullness. A special anointing. Jesus didn't need the Holy Ghost on the River Jordan. He needed a special anointing. Each church age had a special anointing, but it wasn't to have come to adoption. It wasn't to come to speak the word and it happened. Because there were flaws. There were flaws in their doctrine. There was flaws, still flaws in doctrines now. But we're working on it. I said we are. We're all working on it. So this special anointing that's come didn't come in the church ages. Everybody with me? Didn't come in the church ages. I mean, we're all called out of the church age by the new birth. But there's a group of people that's got to come to a place that no one came to. They weren't required to and they weren't able to. But you and I are. You and I are able to do this because God sent us a prophet to tell us the correct way to do it. All right. So then when you get up in the Son of Man, what we're talking about now, listen, did Jesus need to be justified? What again? I can't hear you. Did Jesus need to be sanctified? Did he need the Holy Ghost? He was the Son of Man then, wasn't he? And he needed a body change. Because his body was not eternal. But he didn't wake up. Listen, this is what you got. When Paul says we got to have the mind of Christ, we got to start thinking like Christ. Thinking like God. Because listen, Jesus didn't get up every morning and say, Lord, I got to have virtue. Oh, man. I need, no, he knew who he was, the prophet said. Perfect faith. That's what we got to come to. You know what perfect faith does? It takes that justification up there at the very top, and you stand one day, and you look at the world, and you look at the devil, and you say, I never did it to start with. You can't put none of this on me. You can't put anything on me. I'm justified. I am getting ready to be glorified, and there's no turning back. Sanctification, you come to a place that's, God's going to put you in service in the Son of Man ministry, not in the Son of God ministry. I got one amen. But I believe that. I told y'all before, we've got to move out of this into this. This is our call. This is our purpose. This is our purpose of being in this message, not to be where we shout and jump and spew and spit. Did Jesus ever do that? Now, God will wink at your ignorance for doing it here. But did Jesus, he hardly raised his voice. And every time he dealt with the demon, he never had to scream. The demons were afraid of him already. You know why the demons are not afraid of us now? We still need these virtues. I said we. Because listen, we're coming to this place right here, to a body change. Something has happened that's never happened to another person on the face of this earth. Not even the 144,000, because they're going to be killed. The only people, even Jesus. Now, Jesus had to die because of me and you. That's what we got to realize. He died because of my and your sin. And once he paid for it, he don't have to get back on the cross and pay for it again. That's why he's trying to get us up to this spot to see that he didn't have to have a daily sanctification.
That's right. Amen.
All right, let's read something. Is everybody okay with that? That's what we're looking at. I'm not saying do away with this. This is your foundation. Without the foundation, who can build the house? A house of God. A natural house. You can't build a house. You can't just say, all right, I'm going to pour some foundation and then I'm going to put the roof on it. Nothing to attach it to. This is what God is attaching to right now. He is attaching you. I like what Brother Ernie Villanueva, he said, you have been connected to the eternal. You have been connected. That was down here, but our growth development, going higher and higher. But let's read this right here, and then we'll stop. We've only been going about an hour. Everybody all right? I love this part of teaching because it positionally places us, helps us to see who we are. Let's go to that last quote, Brother Anderson. Now, we looked at the justification, sanctification. We've already been through all that. Let's go to the last, to the invisible union. Go back and read that message. And you'll understand a lot of what he's talking about. Now listen, I want to ask you a question. Brother Branham was at Life Tabernacle in 1965, about exactly 1 month before he died. This was preached on 11/25, and I think he died on Christmas Eve, I think it was, on 12/24 of 65. So let's pull that up, Brother Anderson. Go to the invisible union of the bride. What in the world? Ha! I didn't know you could do that. They probably didn't either at first. Anderson's having all kind of aha moments back there. Aha! We can do that. But Brother Branham, listen, I want to ask you a question. Life Tabernacle, Shreveport, Louisiana in 1965. I'm getting old. In 1965, Brother Branham is telling the congregation this right here. All right? How long ago has that been? Almost 50 years ago. 60 years ago. Almost. To count a few more years, we're close. It didn't change one of them into what he was saying. Because it was a prophecy. It was a prophecy for somebody coming. It was a prophecy for you're not getting it. It's not for you. It's for another group of people. It's for a crystal that's coming in the end time. That's going to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Because he preached, this is one of the greatest messages, Invisible Union. It was preached on Thanksgiving Day. He said, this is the greatest Thanksgiving message I've ever preached. Listen to what he says. How did you come to this? How did you come to do this? You were deceived into it by your first marriage to your adulterous parent, Eve. It's no fault of your own. Listen, it wasn't your fault to be born naturally. Right? It wasn't your fault to be born by sex. You had not one thing to do with it. This is the way you had to come after the fall, though, to get you here. To get you here to do what? Make a choice. So you had to come by sexual desire, come through the womb of a woman, but it was not your fault. Everybody okay with that? I'm reading. Everybody believe Brother Branham was a prophet, all right? By your natural birth, you came after Eve, who committed adultery. That's the reason you was born an adulteress. You're a sinner to begin with. Now, I want you to stop right there. Where's the seed? All right, let's put it the right way. Scroll it up just a little bit more. You're a sinner to begin with. Period. No hope. No way out. You were deceived into it. It ain't your fault. But it's your fault if you stay one. You never did it because that little germ, look, hold on a minute. That little germ that was in you, oh, brother, wait, that's that seed that was right in here, was to be you before the foundation of the world. Not the day you were born, natural. It's in the mind of God. That little germ was in the mind of God, but it was in you, was to be you. Before the foundation of the world, God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When? Before the foundation of the world. That's where the seed is. That's where the seed is laying. It's laying in the mind of God. You came here by natural stinking seed. Sorry. Born dead. Hold on a minute. You're a sinner to begin with. You can't make Brother Brown say two different things. You were a sinner to begin with, but you had this germ in you and you always was eternal. Oh, come on, people. Good grief. That just makes you feel good. No, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse from my mother's womb, a liar. I know it because I did those things that I did. God forgave me. I'm trying to forget them. We're all in that same process, right? So let's scroll on up a little bit more. We'll be finished in just a second. He, the bridegroom, took away your shame and put it in the sea of forgetfulness by the washing of the water of the word and the blood of life. That's what the Bible said. Your first husbands you were married to, the world, the anointed bridegroom which foreordained you, foreknowledge, foreknew you would accept it, foreknew that today you want it more than anything. You want to be a Christian. You want God to be in your life. You want God to help you through life. I don't see how people can make it through life without God. And some don't. By the church? Oh. The washing of the water of the word. By the church? Congregation says? No. That don't sound right, does it? No. You might find that in the almanac, but not in God's Bible. By the washing of the water, by the word, in the word. You're standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. Now watch as he continues. You watch how his revelation, his, listen, this is his prophecy to me and you. That you're going to be justified. You're standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. This is my message to the church now as we go off the air just a minute. You are standing. If you're standing on God's word and with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle. Can we say we are? We better try. Where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you, pull away from them shucks. And get out here in the wheat where you can ripe before the Son of Man. I'm sorry, I don't think I changed that one bit. Do you think I did? I know. I hear the coming of the combine. You're standing complete, justified, like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. Like you never did it in the first place. You're born again. But you got to continue to grow. Talk about a Thanksgiving. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than anything I know of. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the Living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, look, and believes every word of God. That's why it can't come to another age. That's why it couldn't come to anybody else. It had to come to somebody that believed the complete, true word of God. When somebody says Trinity, no. That don't even ring in my heart. When somebody says water baptism, name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that don't ring in my heart. But when somebody starts telling me about Acts 2:38, that's something that rings in my heart. Amen? Because that's true water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm more thankful of that than anything. You're the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the Living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God. Stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You're perfect. That comes by child training. That comes by, as we're not going to read it, we may read it next week, that there's a child comes into the body, comes into the, born natural into the family, and then he has to come to adoption. But he has to be child trained. Time tested. And then at the end, the Holy Ghost said, they really believe they're justified. They really believe that thing inside of them didn't do it to start with. And that's what you're looking at, Lord. You're not looking at this out here. You're looking at what's going on the inside. Amen? We can fake it out here. You can't fake it in here. Amen? That's why everything is going to be made manifest. Everything's going to be revealed. Even the devil is going to be made known. In this end time, there's no way you can hide one. No, it's going to come out. You never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ. How can you, if a man, keep going. Now we're still over here on the chart. Look, you're standing completely. You never sinned. He's changed it a little bit. He said it was as if you never did it. Now he's done pulled it up a notch. He said, you're standing complete. You never sinned in the first place. He's wiped you from the mind, all the way up from the mind of God. He's wiped every sin all the way down. Oh, hallelujah. God don't even know. It's the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorcement is put away. It's dead. Absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. Do you know that God knew we would sin? But we were that part was never in the eternal mind of God. You can't put filth in eternity. He knew of you. He might have knew of Adolf Hitler. He might have knew of your life. But once that's blanked out, that real you never did it to start with. Because it can't be in the mind of God. Now I know he knows we were sinners. But remember, Brother Branham said, God can't even see us. He said there's a bumper blood around the earth. And even a Christian, he only hears our voice. Because we still got these things. But somewhere, folks, that's going to have to break open. The seal's got to come off. The seals have got to break to show you that Satan's a bluff. And what you've been listening is a bluff. And what you've been living is a bluff. You're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless, Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride. Word that he washed by the water of his own blood, that became flesh and manifested, that he might take you which were predestinated in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was. Amen. No, bro, wait, we can't go that far. We can be a second person now, but we just can't be what he said. The same as he was. He was that great attribute of God called love. The headstone is not filial love. It's agape love. The love that passes, and listen, the love that has no feeling of this and feeling of that, and I love you as long as you love me. Don't let me hear you talk about me any now. No. That's the love that you have in your heart, that God puts in your heart, and it takes you through that statue of a perfect man, all the way up to brotherly kindness, all the way up then to the body change up there, number three. Because as Brother Dale's always said, what has he always taught us? The only way you're going to know that you got the new birth is when we leave the earth. You can fake it right up to the end. Satan did. You can fake it right up to the upper room. Satan did. Right? Through Judas. Right up to the upper room. But he had, Brother Brown said, he showed his colors. Well, that the colors are going to show, because you cannot have part of God and part of you. That's what this is teaching us, to get rid of who? Who are we getting rid of? We're getting rid of the devil. No, you're getting rid of you. And your stinking thinking and my stinking thinking. We're getting rid of the ways that we used to do. That's why the Bible says, and I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to say it for the next 5 minutes. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourself together. And what does it say at the end? And more. As the day approaches. And more. I think some of us get revelated and we stay out of church. Because we got some great revelation that we don't have to go to church. I don't see that in the Bible, folks. I'm sorry. Do not see it in the Bible. Don't see it in the prophet's message. Don't see it in the Bible. Hey, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. He's the one that said it. I'm just telling you what he said. You get mad at me, I'm reminding you. All right, let's see. Now, Brother Anderson, can you? Well, he can't. No. I pulled out another part of this, and I want to read it before we get finished. I know it's hot in here, but it's only 3:43. We're okay. We're doing good. But we need to, I tell you what, I'll read it later. But let me just read it to you, and we'll read it back again. Watch. In the invisible union, after this thought, Brother Branham is bringing us the thought of God, the mind of God, right? So now in paragraph 279, he kind of breaks away from this, and he says, we all know that the modern church in its present condition and its present state is in no condition to finish up this great commission that God gave the church for this day. He said, how many Pentecostals say amen? Paragraph 281, now we know that the church could not, the Pentecostal church, by no means, could carry out the last day message in its present condition. That's why there's been no rapture. That's why there's been no body change. A lot of people still stuck in Pentecost. I'm just reading you what Brother Brown said. It can't even agree on one or two words in the Bible. Same way with the message, the hour. How in the world can you have three or four churches on the same road? That's a shame. That's a slap in God's face. That you got a message church 3 miles down the road and another one 2 miles down the road, and you got some in certain places that are across the road from each other just because of doctrinal issue. Denominational ideas. But let me read you this right here, and then we'll take communion. It's going to be, he said, how's it going to be? It can't do it the way it's in now. It's going to be an elected people that's elected for it. It's going to be an elected people that is elected for it. What is it? Take a body change. That's our commission. How are we going to, we're in no condition to finish up the Great Commission. I'm just reading what he said, invisible union. Just keep reading past that number 270, go to 279, 280, 281, 282, down to 300. He said, now we're closing. Finish up the Great Commission. How could they do it? We know they're dead. God let it die in this scientific age. But so he could open the seven seal mystery to the undenominational bride. That's me and you. Because what's a denomination? Divide and conquer. Division. Divide up. We got to divide this thing up. No. We're not going to drive by this thing up. God's going to come on the scene. And he's going to put these pieces back together. He's going to cause us to come to a place of the Son of Man revelation. To where even though in your brain, your human brain, you're going to remember everything you've done. Brother Brown said you'll be sticky right up to the change. Why? Because you're still going to have a memory. I wish you could wipe it out. I wish we could just take our memory and erase it like you do a hard drive. But even if you erase a hard drive, you folks that work in computers, what happens? It's still there. It's just hid. It's still there. Once it's imprinted on that disk, you can wipe it off and it won't come up on your computer, but it's still in there. Somebody that knows what they're doing can bring it up. Right? So your hard drive, when you send, your hard drive keeps that in there for a while. But we've got to come to a place where we deny even, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham anymore. I'm not the son of Samuel Peggy Dale anymore. That part of me has been changed by the transforming power of God. And what? Faith. Yes. Not faith to be born again. Faith to take a body change. But it's got to start right here. It's got to start at the new birth. And then work its way up. Work its way up. To where this person never did it to start with. And the I die daily goes to God. I'm totally surrendered to you. Use me. Isn't that what Jesus was? Never had an argument with himself. Never had an argument with the Father. Whatever the Father said, that's what he did. But he was mature enough. What about somebody that had such great power? Let's stand to our feet. Let's take communion. Anybody have a need? Anybody need to be prayed for? If not, we'll go straight into communion. I tell you, I've seen people heal. We have a lot of people here have seen people heal just in taking communion. Put yourself in that place with those disciples. They're in the upper room with the Son of Man. And he's telling them all these things. Listen, if you'll read your Bible, St. John 17, the great prayer that he prayed for us, it was prayed in the upper room. Yes. Amen. Nobody else recorded it except John, but it was prayed in that upper room. And the upper room is where God pronounced that we're going to be one as he and the Father was one. So let's just keep that in our heart and our mind as we continue on. All minds clear? There comes a time that, before we get started, let me say something real quick. That I don't want this to be, I don't want ever let us be boastful. I speak of Brother Dale, and I speak of other ministers, and I speak of us preaching the truth and not degrading other people. Let's not worry about that. Okay? Let's just take what we got and feed on it. What we've already got and feed on it. Let's grow in grace and knowledge under the ministry that we have in this church. No big eyes, no little U's. It's all God doing. God's wanting us to come to a place. Now, you want me to be real honest with you? Does that mean I'm going to lie? I'll be real plain with you. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't put up with some of you. Neither would Brother Dale. And he smiled, shaking his head. But by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're brothers and sisters. We deal with each other's pain. We deal with each other's heartache. And you know what? That's growth. We grow together by the Holy Ghost, because my old nature that's attached to my memory, reason, conscious affection, and imagination, that part is still there. But now, brotherly kindness is what? Loving somebody that hates you. Are we all there yet? It's not really easy to do that. But Jesus did. You know what? I believe he really loved Judas. I believe he did. I believe he prayed for Judas. Knowing he was the son of perdition. Knowing he had a contrary spirit. Because, man, it's talking about discernment. He was the epitome of discernment. Brother Branham had it just every once in a while. I believe Jesus just had it all the time. Anytime he wanted it, he'd bring it right up. So he felt for 3.5 years, he felt that. Contrary. And still walked up one day and he said, I'm going to give y'all power. Y'all take this ministry that you got. Y'all, all 12. Take this ministry and go help the people. Go cast out devils. Speak in tongues. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Judas walked right out there and did the same thing. He preached the message of the hour. He preached divine healing. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus knew that he was a devil. But he gave him power anyway. So whose problem was it? Wasn't Jesus' problem. It was Judas' problem. Don't blame stuff on God. Blame yourself. Because he loves you. He died on that cross for every person. He died for Adolf Hitler. He went on to that cross dying for Adolf Hitler. But he knew, knowing in his infinite mind, that Adolf Hitler would never, ever come to redemption. But he died for him anyway. That's brotherly kindness. He never hated Judas. You know what he hated? He didn't like those Pharisees that thought they were religious. That's what he couldn't stand. He couldn't stand that group of people. But remember, they were contrary, though. They had the devil in them. And he knew that they were trying to turn the people against him. It's just the way it is. Let's bow our heads just for a minute. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you give us. Thank you for the group of people that we've been given an opportunity to speak to today. And I pray that what we've said, Lord, has been pleasing to you, that it'll help all of us to grow more, Lord, in you. Lord, the pull of this world is really strong. There's enticing spirits all around. There's things that have glitter and Hollywood and try to take our attention away from you, Lord. They make it real tantalizing. HD television, it shows you every detail, and they bring colors out more now than ever before. They bring out detail now. But we know it's of the devil. We know the gospel doesn't shine, the gospel glows. And Lord, let it glow in our heart today as we take communion, Lord. Circumcise our heart one more time. Take all the things out of us that, Lord, we're fighting with and struggling with. And, Lord, may we be complete in you. Because you told us to be therefore perfect, so you had to make a way for us to be perfect. You had to bring a ministry, a fivefold ministry that would preach the pure, unadulterated word of God without compromise. And let it fall where it may, and let it grow. But some are going to let it die. But Lord, we pray for everyone. We pray for every person that we've ever talked to in our life, in our human life, Lord, and the different things that we've done in our journey, Lord. We pray now that if they see us again, they'll say, man, you've changed. wow, what happened to you? You've got a glow on your face. You don't have that shame face anymore. You don't have that look of an alcoholic or that look of a smoker or a drug addict. There's something about you. Well, we know what it is, Lord. It's you. You have come in and remolded their life and gave them the new birth. But now I pray, Lord, that they will take that new birth and not be a statue. There are many statues that are wonderful of different people around the world, but they'll do you no good. All you do is stand and look at them. But, Lord, if we come to the full stature of a perfect man, that's a moving, living, breathing instrumentality of God. Somebody God can use, and we pray for that today, Lord. If it not be us, God, please raise up somebody that'll get us out of here. Because, Lord, we need it. But I believe that all together, Lord, we're like a glove. We fit just fine with your message. And that we'll help the people, Lord, as much as we can to the coming of the Lord. To that change of the body we were talking about last night, to where no one else has stood and death had rolled up their sleeve and they just whisk it off just as like dust. Lord, it can't come, though, without a battle. It can't come without a fight. It can't come without heartaches and trials and temptations. But, Lord, he that overcometh will be given all things. And we pray, Lord, that you'd sanctify us now as we partake of this communion, that you will bless us and be with us. Forgive us of our many faults and our sins, Lord, and our daily life, Lord. May it be, like we said, continually molded into your image. And, Lord, just be with our pastor and keep him strong, Lord. Bring his mind back, Lord, that he can speak to us, Father. We really miss that. And we appreciate, Lord, all that you've done for us, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with each one here, Lord, and take care of us now during this part of the service, that we'll all be able to take communion, Lord, with a pure heart. And, Lord, that it'll help us. And that it'll make us better Christians. We'll do the ordinances of God. It will make us a better person. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the manner also, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's what we've been doing today. We've been discerning. You've been discerning yourself. Where am I at? Where am I standing? Lord, where am I? I need to work on this. I hope that's what went through your mind. That's kind of what I wanted you to do. Think about where you're at. I don't want you to worry about where Brother Dale's at or me at or anybody else. You worry about where you're at and what you've got to do to cut these things off. All right? And same way with me, all of us. We've all got to come to this. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not come to condemnation, or the condemnation of the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." When you come together to eat, tarry one for another. The prophet said, silent prayer. Pray for your pastor. If there's anything you got to get out of your life, now's the time to do it. Because if you eat that bread and you drink that cup and you're not a Christian, I'm just telling you, many sleep and are weak. And sleep means dead. Everybody okay with that? If you're dead in Christ today, that's fine. Take communion. But if you're not, if you do stuff, I wouldn't take it. I would not. We're not going to ever. It's open communion. We'll never deny people communion. But you're the one that's going to have to deal with it afterwards. So let's have silent prayer just for a few minutes. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread. It's been made with holy hands. Lord, it's been made according to the way we're supposed to do it, Lord. Unleavened bread, Lord, is not supposed to be something that tastes really good and that we really enjoy it. No, it's supposed to be taken to remember that what you did for us at Calvary and that you, Lord, put your body up there and they tore it all to pieces, Father, just for me and the congregation here and the bride around the world. Lord, you did it for us. I ask you now to sanctify in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no way that we can fathom what happened to that man on Calvary. Only God could take what he took. They had to break the legs of the two thieves so they could die, because they had to, you know, they had to do that to, so they'll die of asphyxiation, what they call it, because you lose your breath if you fall down. But they didn't have to do it to the Lord, because you know what? He was in control. He said, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So man didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his life so that he can save mine and yours. He was in complete control. The whole world thought, man, this guy is out of control. We've got him whipped. We got him right where we want him. Caiaphas is down there prophesying that one man should die. You know, why don't he come off the cross and save himself? Well, he wasn't there to save himself. He was there to save me and you. Amen. He didn't come to save himself. He didn't need saving. But we did. And he knew that we was going to struggle in human flesh before he even got here and before we even got here. But you know what? He that overcometh. Yes. Read those. There's seven overcomings in the Revelations 1, 2, and 3, but there's one more. There's seven in the church ages. Go over to Revelations about 22, and when the holy city comes down and we head into New Jerusalem, there's one more. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. We love that part. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wine, Lord. It was made with holy hands and made according to the way you wanted it done, Father. That it, now it gets better with age instead of fermenting and drying up and going away, Lord. It becomes fresher every day. Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost that we can have, that it's become fresher every day. That it never loses its power. It always has the power of stimulation. And Lord, as we partake of this communion, Lord, may you come down in a special way to each one that has a need, Father, that as they partake of this communion, as we've said before, we've seen people healed in taking of this communion, Lord. So this is not something that's just a tradition or a ritual that we do, Lord. It's something that every month we come together and we break this bread and drink this wine, Lord, and we show your death until you come, Lord. And then we will know that one thing's for sure, the Son of Man has to be back on the earth. And you're here now, I believe, Lord, in a group of people doing what we're supposed to do, doing all the ordinances of God. And Lord, as we move on to you, we ask that you just sanctify us in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question in our humanity the how long. Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. It took a prophet to tell us that some morning between 6 and 9 o'clock, he said, there'll come a shout. There'll come a voice that you've never heard before. And the dead in Christ is going to come out of that ground. And we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be changed and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And ever so be with him. Listen, there'll be no going backwards. We'll be changed in a moment. I think a sister asked last night, what is a twinkling of an eye? Well, it's just, you know how you get a twinkle in your eye? Real fast. Amen. We'll change just like that. I told them last night, I don't think Abraham went through a gradual change. Abraham came to a place and believed the promise of God, and he stood on that promise of God. When he stood on the promise of God, God said, I'll visit you, and I'll change your body. He didn't gradually change it. He changed it overnight, I believe. Because like Brother Branham said, he said, you know, he woke up the next morning and there was Eve. He said he looked at himself and he was young too. Like Brother Jewel sings, I looked all around. I looked at my hands and they were new. I looked at my feet and they were too. I looked all around and all around me was shining. Won't it be a time? He'll be here Friday in the next couple 2 weeks. I'm gonna make sure he sings that song. I'll make sure he sings that song. It's great to be a Christian, isn't it? This world is miserable if you're not one. It's just a miserable place to be. People, they were talking about stuff at work the other day, and I'm like, man, at least that part I don't have to worry about. At least there's a part in this world I don't have to worry about economics. I don't have to worry about politics. I don't have to worry about the $1 million I don't have in the bank. This is all temporary. And they're talking about now, for those of you that invest, they're talking about now in October. We're reading in some of the news articles in October, there's going to be a crash. And we know it was coming. And look how far is it up now, though. It's way up into the, you know, 30,000 or whatever the stock market is. I can remember when it was 1,200 points back when I was younger. But now it's 30,000. People are making 7 and 8 and 10% on their money. You know what's going to happen? It's going to hit the bottom just like it did in 2008, and it's going to wipe out most people's 401K and all the pension. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to depend on the government to get me out. You going to, yeah. You better depend on God. Amen. We better be able to be far enough up that statue of perfect man that where we can speak and things will happen. Amen. Let's take communion. Thank you, Lord. Let's read our scripture and the sisters can go downstairs. And again, let's remember. Now, I'm talking to you sisters now. While they're washing feet, if you need to take care of somebody's baby, take care of the baby, take them out of the room. No conversation. Up here, where we're up here, when the men are up here, we're singing a song. We've got music playing in the background, and we don't converse with each other. It's a solemn time. So when you're downstairs, if you need to talk, you need to go outside. All right? Don't hang around in the common room and start laughing and talking. It's really a solemn time. All right? So let's read the scripture. We should be reverent. Should be reverent while we're in the house of God. There's time to do all that other stuff. But just be reverent. Be reverent to each other. All right? Don't be laughing and talking and playing with babies. If a baby needs to be taken out, take the baby out. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After he poureth water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, what are you doing? What are you washing my feet for? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. He knew the Holy Ghost was going to come. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That's pretty plain. If you don't wash feet, you're not part of God. I know we have problems and issues we have to take care of. I know that. But I'm reading you the Bible. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Jesus said, oh, hold on a minute. He that's washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith, and you are clean, but not all. Because remember, he washed Judas's feet. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So after they had washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? That's a question mark. You shall call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet. In other words, if I'm the Lord of heaven, if I'm the eternal one, and I've washed every one of your feet with no prejudice, why can't you do it? If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know what the problem is? Let me just tell you what the problem is. You're not humble enough. You got too much pride. Sorry, I'm just saying it like it is. That's what Jesus was saying. You got too much pride. Sorry. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Look, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Happy are you if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, we've come to the ordinance of foot washing. We pray that you would anoint us, Father, and let us not be haughty and high-minded, and let us not be, Lord, think we're better than others, Lord, but let us do as you did. You humbled yourself. You created the water. You created the human that you washed the feet of. You created the bowl that you washed the feet with and the towel. Yet you laid all that aside and you washed every one of them feet. Thank you, Lord, for being a servant, for being an example that we should follow these things and follow these ordinances. We should be happy if we do them, Lord. Just be with us. Keep us safe, Lord. Be with Brother Aaron on Wednesday night as he comes to speak the word to us. Be with us next weekend, Lord, as we have a baby dedication and we have a shower there, Lord. I pray that you just be with each one. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. But, Lord, bring us into that statue of a perfect man. Take us up through that part, Lord, at the end of the third pool where you, Lord, you took a prophet that said, whatever you say, that's what will happen. And that's what I pray. That you will come to, Lord, that whatever you say, not what we say, but whatever you say is never wrong. It's always correct. But whatever you say, that's what's going to happen. Lord, just be with us in the furtherment of this service. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, sisters. Go downstairs. And brothers, let's wait and make sure the sisters get downstairs before we start washing feet. Have a little respect, okay? Aaron, if you would put on the music from the preliminary music on the soundboard.